You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I talked to Levi Rinson Hall of For the Love of Bees about localizing food production in New Zealand as a response, as a community response to the IPCC global report on climate change, which seemed all doom and gloom.
Certainly did. It sounded like we were going to die.
Yeah. So, what?
Floods and things.
How can we get ourselves somewhat out of this crisis, or like move forward positively with our environment? So that's what we talked about, with a focus on agriculture and food production.
I am a facilitator of community education and learning. I do that through For the Love of Bees, and what I do is I teach centered around biological growing. So teaching people about how to grow naturally pest-free, healthy, resilient plants and soils in not only an organic way, but a way that really is biologically and ecologically rich. The idea that you're not only growing a garden, okay, what you're growing is you're growing a whole ecology of interconnections. You are regenerating your soil, you're capturing carbon from the atmosphere and putting it into the ground, you're cleaning the air, you're providing habitat and food for pollinators, and teaching this stuff is the most important thing that we could be doing right now. You mentioned climate change. Agriculture is one of it's the main one. Everyone's going on about the cars and our cities and stuff, but agriculture is huge. It's over half the emissions, and it's not really being talked about, and all this knowledge is getting lost fast. I teach people how to regenerate their landscape, learning contexts that people can really connect to the wonder and the magic of the natural world. And, through that, like, you're kind of ticking all boxes. You're providing healthy, nutritious food for people, or you're teaching them how to grow that for themselves. You're, like, restoring communities. You're restoring soil ecology. You're helping sort of rebalance the atmosphere. And, I don't know if I mentioned before, but bringing communities together is really huge as well. In society, where there's a real detachment. This came up in a conversation on a panel that I was talking about the other day. Someone put their hand up and said, we talk about community so frequently. And he said very honestly, in his own opinion, when people talk about community, I don't know what they're talking about, like what community. And that, to me, it was very intriguing. And it was also very sad, because it is a sort of struck hard one of the symptoms of the world we live in, how we're becoming sort of separate individual entities, and the beauty of life, and also the beauty of the natural system. We teach, biological resilience, right? And biological resilience is created through diversity. Diversity is strength. And as we go through this, just the state of the world at the moment, it's very individual focused. And teaching biological growing and how to regenerate our landscapes together, which is what we do it for the love of bees, create inspirational learning adventures to do this. It's fixing everything.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, as you noted, a gradual move, or even quite a severe move, to individualism in how our communities and our physical neighborhoods, rather than social interactions, and how that has perhaps disintegrated the connections we have with each other, and is almost mirrored with the disintegration of our connections with nature as a full cycle, and how we see ourselves as separate to the cycle and kind of a human-centric view rather than as part of this cycle. And perhaps maybe, like, looking at the IPCC report, that is potentially where we've gone wrong. We're using nature for our own benefit and not considering ourselves as part of nature. It's solely a product.
Yeah.
Reframing agriculture and reframing community, for me at least, is an incredibly important way to move forward, like solving these issues that have been raised in the IPCC report.
Yeah.
And perhaps rethinking of ourselves holistically in this system.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think people can do this?
Well, I'm just gonna default to my number one passion, which is the project for the love of bees. You know, the sort of context of this discussion, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, and for those that haven't heard of it, For the Love of Bees is it's a social sculpture, it's an artwork first and foremost, and it's an artwork that invites all you Aucklanders out there, all you people in Christchurch, all you people in Wellington, it invites you to imagine your city as the safest city in the world for pollinators. What we do is It's really a positive response to what we're currently facing at the moment. You talked about agriculture before. Agriculture, there's big problems out there with agriculture. It's sort of my world, and for everyone that exists in the agriculture world and the space of organics and the organic movement, we're just doing horrendous things to our non-organic food. Some of the practices that are occurring on our land and also happening to the food that we eat is just rife. We have a problem where we actually, you don't know how your food is produced. You don't know who grew it. For the Love of Bees, we work with lots of different community groups from a small scale to a large scale. What we do is we don't do these projects for people. We facilitate them.
We see large control of the food manufacture in New Zealand and internationally in the hands of very few people. Do you think redistributing and localizing food production is a good step towards bringing back social communities and towards giving back into our environments around us?
100%. It is transforming our agricultural systems is the most important thing that we can be doing to help fight climate change and mitigate climate change. And in my opinion, it's the most important thing that we can be doing to, I don't know, connecting people to nature and ecology and creating healthier communities as well, like physically healthier, as in like they're eating food that actually nourishes them instead of the food we get at the supermarkets, which is not nutrient dense at all. And then also, yeah, just like culturally, mentally, community, you know, nourishing people on a whole other level. The average age of a farmer in New Zealand is something like 65 years old or something, which is just ridiculous. I feel like, I don't know, we need much more young farmers out there. If there's any young farmers out there, please get in touch with me. We're starting a movement. But there's also the belief that we're just stuck into this mode of industrialized food production and that people are worried about like us not producing enough food. And I don't know, we're still thinking this. We're still thinking that we need this industrial model and we need chemicals to grow food and that we need genetically modified food. And it's like, hang on, let's just take a step back here. We throw out the most ridiculous amount of food that we produce. A lot of it goes to waste. The issue is nothing to do with producing more. The issue is about distributing it within our communities. And hand in hand with that, it's also about, there's a movement happening around the world, and it started in New Zealand. It hasn't really made its way to Auckland City yet. And it is the small-scale intensive organic farming. That's a bunch of jargon there, but what that means is people on quarter acre blocks that there's pakaraka farms out in Thames. They're on a quarter acre piece of land, and they this year are aiming to grow over $100,000 worth of vegetables. It is farming using biointensive methods that aim to sequester carbon, support biology, really help the natural system thrive. And it's a way of farming that you can produce a lot of food in a small amount of land. It's organic, and it seriously is a really viable alternative that we can actually uptake. And for me, once we uptake that, it's within communities. It's going to strengthen communities, and it's going to pull communities together. What we're doing it for the love of bees. It's a project initiated by For the Love of Bees, and it's called OMG, standing for Organic Market Garden. What we want to do is, at the moment, the big problem with farming and growing is that it's not visible. We need to make it visible. And we've got this amazing site. It's owned by the City Rail Link. They've given it to us for a year or two. And we are transforming this land, which is full of rubble and, yeah, I don't know, metal. And the soil test is fine. It's not toxic. And what we're doing is, with communities, we are transforming it into Auckland City's first in recent times proper organic market garden. So it's the difference. At the moment, we've got lots of community gardens. They're wonderful. They're really good places for people to go, build community, really feel good in, you know, like really good for our mental health. But we have a big problem in that organic food is highly inaccessible. Where this site is it's at the very top of Simon Street. There's a lot of apartments coming up there, and there's no supermarkets around there, man. There's no place to buy fresh food. You actually can't get it unless you catch a 30-minute bus ride or you go downtown. And this is a big problem because, you know, our cities, you know, we're starting to, like, import stuff. And, man, have you seen the amount? There's so many patches of land that are just sitting there completely underutilized. And there's this method out there, which is small-scale organic growing, and it works. And what we're doing is doing it together. I organise weekly working bees there. I was there yesterday with a bunch, 10 office workers. They came down on their lunch break just to blitz it for an hour. It is amazing the work that you get done, and the learning that happens and the friendships that get built in such a small space of time. Man, it's amazing. There's a working bee happening this weekend, actually, on Sundays. Bring your friends, play loud music. Transforming this plot to something that's actually going to produce.
Do you think the success of these community projects and the community work will hopefully hold corporations and large companies somewhat accountable for their environmental disregard when we can see what we can do on a communal level?
I don't know if it's going to hold them accountable, but I think what it's going to do is, I hope we can overthrow them. That's what I hope. You know, it's a movement, and it is, people are ready for this to happen. The other day we had 26 people working all together at once. It was an incredible energy. We are communicators, first and foremost, communicators and inspirers. We need to bring this into the public realm and into the public discussion.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.